Hi. Geez, this is the way I felt when I was in school a little bit. I have to admit, you know, one of the things that's really getting me, first of all, welcome to this podcast, and we appreciate those of you who followed it. I'm Mike Flanagan, State Superintendent. And, well, I guess this brought back memories of, frankly, how bored I was in most classes. And I was kind of, as I've said in other podcasts, kind of just hanging on in school until I had a couple of great teachers that really motivated me and made learning fun. But it's really a critical piece, all the props and kidding aside for a moment, that we are sure that our high school graduation requirements are going to be available to kids in a way that's relevant and fun and interesting. And so a couple of those things we thought we'd talk about today. We're halfway through our first year of the new high school requirements because it's this year's ninth graders that are going to have to complete those. And what it really comes down to is getting competent in the course content expectations. And how they get competent is what we're leaving to all the innovation and expertise that teachers and other educators bring, and local districts bring to their kids. We have these common standards, as you know now, from Marquette all the way to Monroe. And it's because we want to make sure that our kids are situated better than any other state and as well as any other nation in this world, so that they're ready for the new economy, that they not only have an education that's valuable to them personally, but that is marketable. And I think we've kind of begun with the state board here and the local districts, we've begun a reformation, in effect, of the whole education system, because we've created these standards and then we're leaving tremendous flexibility to achieve those and show proficiency. We need a system that's innovative, relevant, and as I said, not boring. So one of the reasons to kind of start out with me half asleep and bored on this desk is to try to invite us to think about delivery of instruction in a very different way. And the beauty, I do a school visit in a different district every month. I've been invited by many of you. And we're trying to do it in a way that we get around to different parts of the state and big districts, small districts. And it's really been helpful to me. And I am very impressed with the kind of innovation that you see now. So many of our teachers have figured out ways to make their work and their content exciting to young people. We need to make that systemic by work we're doing this year with teacher preparation institutions so that young people will learn that while they're being trained as teachers and not have to kind of invent it on their own or have 20 years experience. Because the key, really, if you think about it, most of us had at least some classes that we were bored to death in. And if that happens, it's all over. So this is why we start to think about things differently. It's not about classes. The high school graduation requirements are about what local districts and superintendents and teachers decide credit should be given for. The key word is credit. And we promised at an earlier podcast that we'd go into a little more detail about that. So, for example, it's not about seat time anymore. If this works for large numbers of your kids, that's great. But there's a lot of kids, particularly in this techie world that we're in with all the other kind of exciting devices and gadgets that they have around them, that all we should care about is mastery, that they are comfortable and proficient in these standards and in these course content expectations that we've created, grade-level content expectations in the case of elementary. So, you know, it may not be that you teach physics at 7:30 in the morning in a traditional classroom and a traditional course. And kids learn differently, and our whole challenge is going to be to adapt a system to unique needs and customize it to the way that each of the kids learn in our system. And that's, when you count preschool kids, it's almost 2 million children in this state. We need flexibility, and we can have flexibility and still have rigor. That's why this map, if you want to think about it that way, of the standards that we've created at the state are just that. How do you reach that target? How do kids cross a graduation stage, get a diploma, and we all feel confident that they've used many different pathways to get there, but in the final analysis that they've mastered the content, and they're ready for this new world that we've come into. So some of the things we've done, I've issued some seat time waivers because I've been a fanatic about this. And when we discovered that we have some opportunities here in the department to actually explore waivers, we've done that. We've done it for online learning because we don't want to be boxed by hours alone. Right now, the legislation doesn't require a certain amount of days, but it does require a certain amount of hours. And we've been open to waiving those number of hours if people come to us with some creative ways, and that's what we've taken advantage of. That's what personal curriculums can be all about. Early colleges, dual enrollment, all these other opportunities for kids. And in early college, the Henry Ford, I think it's called Academy, which is in the Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, and there's a number of these centers around the state now as early colleges. This was a governor and state board and medical institutions in particular that were interested because these are all health-oriented. These kids are learning heavy-duty math and particularly science in these academies. At the end of 5 years, they're coming out with a diploma for high school and a community college degree. And we can invent all kinds of opportunities like this, and it's our obligation to do that. You know, when you think about kind of this more flexible world and that the department, which I have responsibility for, is setting standards but not interfering with how to get to those. If you think about that, it goes all the way from maybe testing out with end-of-course exams, where some children will whip right through this and they're ready for college earlier, they're ready for the work world. Others, the state board just the other day approved a recommendation we're making to the feds, to the federal government, to allow us to allow 5 years for some kids, particularly, let's say, in alternative academies. Because, well, one thing you know, if you have more than one child, if you have children, and if you have more than one child like I have, they learn differently, they learn at different rates, and almost all kids can reach these high levels of achievements. They need different methodologies, and they need more time in some cases. So we're hoping through this recent state board approval that the feds will come to our rescue on this and allow us the opportunity to allow some kids to go 5 years when appropriate, particularly in alternative high schools, and not get penalized with dropout data. Because those aren't dropouts. Those are kids that are in a prescribed program that will do very well. And a lot of these incorporate kind of career tech pathways so that kids are not only understanding the concepts of math and science, but they're learning a health career while they're going along at the same time. So, you know, we're trying to reimagine high schools. Lots of people are doing this work, universities, local districts, associations. Governor Granholm asked me recently if I would mind kind of spearheading a group, because I think she knows that we're not partisan in the department. And I'm happy to report, coincidentally, tomorrow, maybe not when you see this, but from my point of view when we're filming this, tomorrow I've got a group of people, including the governor and key Republicans and key educational leaders, visiting some very, very innovative high schools. One of them is a quick in and out within a few hours in Chicago of a Microsoft-oriented Gates High School. We have some that we're preparing for that are in this state. But I guess what I'm so excited about in that case is this is all about getting Republicans and Democrats who ultimately have a lot to do with this, with the laws that are passed, to realize that to make this as a state, we've got to really win the education game and win the education race in this world, and we can do this. So we're trying to kind of align our system for a global economy. Prepare workers for this whole different world where you hear they're going to change jobs X number of times. Really have the all fixed in our head that we can't afford to have one child not making it. You know, if it was your child not making it, you'd be upset, and we should think about every child as being our own. And if we do this, I can't tell you how firmly I believe this. We are going to lead the nation and the world. We're getting our act together quicker than any of the rest. Some recent quality count things in the Education Week have kind of shown our progress has moved us up on that path in terms of comparisons to other states. We can become the best. And, you know, even if you're shaken by this a little bit, we all talk about change. You hear a lot of it in the political commentaries lately. Deep down, we're kind of scared about change. But we know that change is necessary for our kids to succeed. And I'm inviting you that watch in on these podcasts to be as excited as we are here at the Department of Ed to reimagine this world in a way that's going to make it a better one for our kids, higher levels of competency. And then in addition to that, kind of a nice byproduct is a great, great economy here in the state of Michigan. So thanks for joining us this time, and see you next time. Well, no, I'm excited now. I'm going back to work.